Well, as you find your way to your seat, as most of you are aware, Danny and I this week were in Memphis for several days to attend a conference called the MLK 50 Conference. And the whole purpose of that conference was to understand what are the gospel implications for racial reconciliation. But it is not limited, I would say, to racial reconciliation, but in dealing not only just with race, but with injustices all around us. And I think Danny's going to share probably very similar to what I would share, and that is that we were affected by the word that was preached at that conference. And so I've invited Danny to come and share a brief testimony related to that, and then I will share as well later.
I'll be honest with you, as I prepared for this conference, prepared to go. I've been to a lot of conferences over the years through different things, biblical counseling, training conferences, pastoral conferences and meetings and things like that. This was by far the most impactful, and I was a little naive of what I was getting into. As Kyle and I were talking on the way there, I began to think through some things, and these are not issues that our church has not been dealing with, is not issues that we have not thought about before, not issues that I'm not already concerned about with our relationship. And I think the timing on this, Kyle, we're talking about is perfect. Us having just worshiped together 2 weeks ago with morning chapel and then celebrating the risen Savior, and now we're at the point, where do we go from there? How do we proceed looking out into our community and seeing needs that need to be addressed or discovering what needs are there that need to be addressed? Our Sunday school lesson this morning was perfect, by the way. In our class that meets in here, we talked about love and the implications of love, and that love, in the end, is only true love if it moves us to action. I could explode in one of 50 different ways this morning. There's so much of this conference that impacted me. I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. I'll be honest with you, at times it was very uncomfortable to listen to some of the things that were being said. I was challenged in my thinking in some ways. You can ask my wife, since I've been home. We've had lots of conversations on how this practically should look. Kyle and I had 5 hours, 6 hours nonstop on the way back of how this practically looks for us as a body. And long story short, I don't know, but I know things have to change. I know the things in our lives that that we've taken for granted, things that we've overlooked and said that's not my problem. Those types of things have to become our problem. One thing that and this came as much from Kyle as it did from anybody, just over the last maybe year or so, and in recent weeks as well, and then heading into this conference, one thing that I've been impacted by is we've got to listen to people. We've got to listen to people that are different than us. We've got to hear people where they are. With hearing ears, not just listen and say, okay, I know, I get that. Or I know, and here's my rebuttal against that, because I don't like what you're saying. And when we're talking about race in particular, and Kyle's right, it's not just race. It also has to do with socioeconomic status. It has to do with all these things. It has to do with nationality as well. It's our heart for missions both here and abroad that has to be affected by this, of reaching out and loving all people. And we have to hear what people are saying. Whether we agree with it or not, we've got to listen to it. We've got to try to understand it, and we've got to challenge ourselves. Why don't I agree with that? Why am I missing that? And then once we have a God-centered answer on it, we've got to speak out. We can't just be complicit and sit back and listen and say, okay, this is the way things are. I don't feel that way. I'm sorry that it's happening. but that's the way it is. I don't think that's a biblical response. That's not God's response to us in our lives. God didn't say, okay, you're sinful, you're in this situation, but that's the way it is. God's response was to pursue us and to change us and to make things right for us in every way, pouring his grace out upon us, going above and beyond. So we have to listen, we have to speak out on what we're hearing and be a voice. I don't know that we have to be activist, but we have to be advocates. We have to be ambassadors. We don't have to be political, but this affects politics. We have to be biblical. In fact, I would challenge us, and this was one thing I was challenging, we probably need to be less political and more biblical in our thinking and realizing there's not one political answer out there. Because if we honestly will look at things, there's things we disagree with on both sides, and there's things we agree with on both sides of our main two political systems. There's some things we can't get behind on both of those things, and there's some things we have to get behind. And I'm not talking about the way we vote. I'm not talking about standing up for particular candidates. I'm talking about the way we live our lives. Biblical response. We've got to be present. We've got to be involved in situations. One of the speakers challenged me in saying it's not a problem, or a problem is not a problem until it's your problem, until it affects you, until you put yourself in a situation where you're involved in it as well. We've got to get involved in some problems. That way they become our problems. Because we have the answers. We have the ultimate answers as believers to these problems. It's not enough just to be there. It's not enough just to be involved in a situation or associate ourselves. It's not just enough for us to go attend services at a black church. It's relationships. We've got to be not only present, but we've got to be relational in that presence. We've got to build those relationships. And that's not just in that. I'm rethinking a lot of things right now. This may change in a couple of weeks. And I hope God continues to change all of us in this, by the way. But think of the way we do outreach, and I'll pick on my gospel community. We've adopted an apartment complex, and we've hung lots of things on their doors, and I'm sure they love us for that. We've really benefited their lives in doing that. We've invited them to Easter 2 years in a row through cards. We did have one project where we spent a day there and actually did things for them. I think that was probably the most impactful thing we've ever done there. We've got to get involved. We've got to get our hands dirty. We can't be satisfied with doing outreach that satisfies us rather than meets needs. If we're just doing outreach so we can check off the box that we did outreach, then it's probably not benefiting anybody but us. Let me share a passage of scripture. Romans chapter 15. This was shared this week as well. Look at Romans 15 and verse 7. It says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. As the speaker shared with us, the whole book of Romans, the whole first part of the book of Romans tells us how God has welcomed us. So if you're familiar with that book, think back the different things it says about how God welcomed us into his family. Think back to Romans chapter 1 that tells us what it is to be separate from God. Abased in our minds. People seeking after ungodly things because their hearts are evil. And then how God, throughout the book of Romans, reveals his grace to us and intervenes in our lives and intervenes in that situation. Not because anything we have to offer to the situation, but because of his grace and his grace alone. Not because we deserve it, not because we did the right thing once we received it. But because he was good and gracious towards us. And now he says here, Paul writing, God speaking, therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That same grace we've received, we've got to extend. And people are going to take that grace. They're going to take the kindness that we extend. They're going to take the things we do. And they're not going to use it right. They're going to take advantage of us. Just like we have. But that's not the point. The point is sharing God's love with people. And the people are going to be changed. Truly changed. Not just changed enough to show up here once a week and eat coffee and donuts and hang out with people you like. And hear a Sunday school lesson and a sermon in a comforting atmosphere that's not threatening to anything you're doing. That's not the change we need. We need change that changes our everyday lives, that changes the way our gospel communities interact with our actual communities. Our gospel communities are actually called gospel communities on mission. And we've got to identify those missions. We've got to say, I'm here in this community for a purpose from God. Not because our church came up with that or because another church came up with that concept and we adopted it, but because that's why God put us here. To bring about change. To be agents of change. Because we receive something and we have the obligation to share it with someone else. And I think the simplest way to start that is something else that I was encouraged by this week is it starts with doing one kind act. One thing. It doesn't start with going and changing the White House. It doesn't start with, you know, running for office and passing laws. It starts with me being kind to people who are underprivileged, who don't have the same opportunities as I do. Whatever reason I can come up with that they're in that situation, that doesn't matter. There's a thousand reasons for that. You can argue that people want to be in that situation. I would argue against it. You can argue that it's not my responsibility, and I'd argue against that too. But there are people in our community. We were talking about this morning. Matt mentioned there are people all around us who live much differently than we do, who have much different experience than we do. And some of it's along racial lines, but some of it's not. And we've got to see that. That's got to affect us because we, again, have the answers to bring about change. This wasn't from the conference. This is something that's been on my mind for a long time. God, in his word, from old to new, there's a couple different groups of people that I see that God is concerned about all throughout Scripture. You see the fatherless, the widow, the sojourner, we would say refugee, and the poor. And then we have to look at our lives and say, am I concerned about those things that God's concerned about? Am I concerned about those people that God is concerned about? And I think that's where it leaves us, at the starting line. To start looking at that and looking out and say, okay, God, how are we going to address these needs? We can't do it all. It's not up to us to do any of it, honestly. It's God working in us and through us. But we have to be involved in it. And so I was challenged this week. I was beat up this week. I'm still pondering and thinking on things. I'm going to have to go back and think through some of these things again. The MLK 50, the sessions are all online, by the way, on the Gospel Coalition website under events. I would encourage you, as you have time, just start working through those slowly. It was good to hear them all in one two-day conference, but I think there's thoughts there that need to be worked out slowly. Things that we need to think through and really grab our minds around, pull in and ponder and say, God, okay, what are we going to do with this truth